Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Welcome in, Ben and Woods. That hurt, by the way. Welcome in, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, that didn't feel great. I'm gonna head out. Love you guys. Have a great show.
Good day.
You
good day.
Get it done. Good to be here with you on a Wednesday morning. I think we're all a little bit worse for wear. Games like that certainly take minutes and seconds off your life. But we are here. We made it in. And I'd say, you know, scale of 1 to 10, we're probably feeling at about a 6 today, but those are always the best shows, when you really don't have much of a clue what's going on, and you're just ready to come in and have fun with your friends. That's what we're going to do today. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, and he's in for Paulie, who is in Las Vegas. Looks like Paulie is having a fantastic time. Frankie, how are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And quite a game last night.
Quite the game last night. Hope you didn't turn it off after the Padres fell behind 6-0 in the top of the first inning. I know you didn't turn it off,
because no.
I could tell. I could see you were there. Quite apparent where Woods was watching the game last night. Did anybody else out there happen to catch the Stephen Woods show?
It was...
You were like in the right-handed batter's box.
I know. Now, in my defense, our friends Patrick and Angie Daly, they have these seats down in the home plate club. And Hannah and I have been invited to sit there a few times. Probably a third time we've been there. And any time he offers, you jump. You're like, my kid's graduating? Sorry, buddy. Sinner's going to be there for you. You have a great time. Let me know how it goes. Somebody get video. You go. You jump at those seats. Any chance. I can't even impart to you how special it is to sit down there. Every fan should have a chance once in their life to sit down there where you can hear everything. You can see the movement on a pitch, or the lack of movement on certain pitches. You can, the throw from Fernando to home plate, when he almost piped that dude at home plate, the speed of baseball, it doesn't translate to television. It just doesn't. And when you're sitting where you are down there, you're like, oh my God. I mean, you hear grunts, you hear, nah, it's down. I mean, you hear everything. It was incredible. So you jump at the opportunity. And so we did. We had a sitter for the kids last night. And normally, though, their seats are, if you're looking at the screen, they're not. Otherwise, I'm not an idiot. I would have worn the biggest Ben and Wood shirt you could have ever imagined. I'm not a moron. I was going to promote the show. And when we got there, I go, where are we going? And he's like, oh, I did a ticket exchange for these. I gave two to charity. And then this story. I go, so wait. We're here? And he goes, yeah. And I go, oh, no. Texted some buddies a picture of. I go, this is insane. And my buddy goes, your Twitter timeline's about to get really annoying. And I go, oh, God, I didn't think of that. And let me tell you, it was the most stressed I've ever been watching a game, because all it was like, what do they call it in college when you have to, I imagine it was like giving a dissertation. And then there's like professors that are listening to you and they're grading you the whole time.
Like a panel. You're going like in front panel. Of a panel.
Yeah.
Like the academic panel.
So I was going, yeah. It was like being in front of a panel last night. And then you become acutely aware of how many people are watching your every move. And I mean every move.
You cannot.
Can't pick your nose.
Pick your nose. Under any circumstances.
I itched a little bit. Carlos says, how many DMs you get? On Instagram, I had 18 DMs when I got home. I looked at that. My Twitter timeline was basically a bunch of people sitting around with a red pen going, all right, now he's eating peanuts. I saw peanuts. what's he shoveling in now? Is it Cracker Jacks? I think it's Cracker Jacks. So I tweeted immediately. I go, I feel very self-conscious about these nachos because I got some nachos to start. And I had one in the first, and then I like put them down. I had three chips, three total, mm-hmm. and I just put them on the ground. I go, so I would run down to the other area in between innings, and you realize this goes fast. I mean, it goes fast. They're right back out there on the bump. Games are moving these days, so we'd run down, like get a slider or something, and then run back.
Eat it there, so you didn't have to eat it in front of everybody.
Correct. It was horrible. It was. I mean, it was awesome, but the grading of every move I made was horrible.
I'm curious, and maybe the chat can weigh in on our YouTube stream. You can watch this program on YouTube, or you can stream us on our Odyssey app, all the Spotify channels, Apple Music, wherever. How many people watch the game and look for people like behind home plate that they recognize?
I never do.
I never really did, but now that HD is so good and they have the cameras that are just as focused on the fans in the stands as they are on the players, I occasionally say, oh, that's Brian Dutcher. Oh, that's, you know.
Eric Weddle.
I know who that is. And Eric Weddle was there last night.
Eric Weddle was there. He's a handsome dude, man.
Donnie Edwards was there last night.
Donnie Edwards sat right behind us. And then there was a boxer that sat right behind me. And some people said, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Munghia. Jaime.
I don't know.
You got to get a picture with him. He's incredible. I'm like, I don't know who he is, so I'm not going to ask him for a picture. So, look, the view, the vantage point, it was truly amazing. Now, I was staring into the umpire's butt the whole night. That was my view. So I'd have to move right. I'd have to move left to get find the crack to see it. But you could see and hear everything. But yeah, it was crazy. Schilt's Creek says, I saw you staring down at your phone. So the other part of it was this. Not only was I answering messages, I was trying to get Jake Peavy on the show today. So I was working whilst I was watching the game, which is what I do from home anyway. I'm always looking for content, looking for what we're going to talk about during the game. That's kind of standard whether I'm at home in bed or second row. So I was working a lot on my phone too, and then, getting graded the whole time was almost excruciating after a while, and so, but those seats are ungodly. Like you just can't even imagine how cool it is to be down there to hear. I mean, you could hear Max Myers, you could hear his fastball from where I was sitting, just
cutting through the air.
Just when Manny hit that ball to dead center. I go, oh, my God. I mean, just the sound, Jackson's home run. I mean, it's just, I really wish every fan could experience it once in their life. It's stupid. It's stupid. And it gives you, again, not that I don't have a pretty healthy respect for what these guys are able to do. It doubles it. When you're down there watching, even their warm-up pitches, and Max Myers throwing 97, you're like, how does anyone foul this off? Like, how? How does it, not only like getting good wood on it, how do you square that up? How do you time that out? The newfound appreciation that you have when there is staggering. I think if I sat down there for 81 home games, I don't think I'd ever say anything critical about the team ever. I'd be like, hey, it's really hard. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys. It's almost impossible. And it is. It really is. The chances of squaring one of those balls up is minuscule. And but it was a really fun night other than, you know, being hawk-eyed the whole time. It was like having your parents in there. I mean, like just watching everything you do. So that wasn't ideal, but it was pretty fun. Some other observations. there's a lot of casual fans out there, and it's almost excruciating. There was the guy in front of us. I don't know who he was. Runners on first and second. Two outs. We have Toddy on first and somebody else on second. And they're, obviously, you're not going to hold a guy on first base with a runner on second. Bo knows this. He's seven. He's like, look, they're not even holding him on. And I'm like, oh, and I'm now I start rocking back and forth. Because I'm, you know, try to, I don't want to be a know-it-all, but I'm starting to shake. And I'm starting, he's telling his wife, look at this. Well, look, these Marlins are so dumb. They're not even, they're, look, he, look at the lead he's getting, not even holding him on at first. And I'm starting to sweat. And I'm starting to shake. And I, and Hannah's looking at me like, don't do it. And I'm like, I'm not saying anything. And then you got former Charger great, Donnie Edwards, was behind us. Nice guy. Met him, met his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And at one point, there was a throw from right field to third base. And it came in on a hop. Manny grabbed it, throws a tag.
I remember the play. Yep. Didn't quite get it down in time, but
Donnie goes, got to tag him lower than that. What's he doing tagging him up so high? And I almost turned around like, aren't you a professional athlete? What if Manny was on the sidelines and be like, eh, your form's all wrong, bro. I don't know. Like, you know how hard this is. You saw that. Like, there wasn't.
You gotta use your legs to tackle, Donnie.
Dude, it was like,
you gotta get low. It was and like, use your legs.
I'm sitting here watching, going, are we doing this right now? So I just, I had to put a cork in it, you know, most of the night. But it was, it's just, it's an enlightening, eye opening experience when you sit next to the baseball fan that thinks he knows everything, but literally has no idea. Look, I'm not even holding him on. I'm like, all right. I wanted to lean over and go, hey, in this situation with two outs and runner in front of you, there's nowhere he can go. There's no way. You really don't even need to keep him close at this point. You might cut behind him every now and then, maybe get the back pick from the catcher, but you're not going to hold a guy on with a runner in front of him. That's, you know, the Encinitas Little League Woodpeckers know this rule, sir. But other than that, it was fantastic. Now, again, let me address the elephant in the room. I did leave early. I left after the eighth inning with a two-run lead. Jackson Merrill's home run is really what solidified it. And I could lie to you guys and say, well, the people that we came with, that's when they left, which would be true. But that's not why we left. We left because we had a babysitter, and I do a morning radio show, and we had a 30-minute drive home. And I looked around. I went, there are 40,000 people here. And I'll tell you, we weren't the only ones. People started to stream out with a two-run lead. I go, I don't care. I got to go home. So I was getting dragged for that.
I'm impressed you stayed through eight innings. Honestly,
that's what I would like the credit for.
That's a pretty good stint for the Woods Plan.
It's massive. It's massive. So, but the views are insane. Yeah, somebody said I was chewing a stick. I was chewing a straw. I do that all the time. I get very nervous watching.
You should
games.
See the pens in here. They are completely eaten. He just chews and chews and chews.
Yeah, Schultz Creases was eating a hot dog completely out of the equation. 100%. You think I'm going to give you guys that ammo? Like I said, I had three chips of a batch of delicious nachos. I couldn't even eat them because of you monsters. You absolute monsters. Let me live. Why do you think in 5 years I want to retire and never be heard from again? Because I get red-penned when I go to a baseball game. It was horrible. Horrible, horrible, but it was also incredible.
Well, I didn't see you do anything untoward or embarrassing while I was at least watching, but I'm not Hawkeyeing you. I'm watching the game.
Yeah, you're watching the game. As you should have been. As you should have been. I'm nobody special. Just watch the game. Leave me be. But it was pretty stressful. It's pretty stressful, actually.
I would think so.
With that said, forget about the being Hawkeyed and stuff like that. Would you rather sit behind home plate, or would you rather sit up high where you could see everything?
You know, obviously you're going to get different vantage points. Like, there's no denying. If you sit in the first row of the 300 section and you're looking down like a bird on that field, that is a kick-ass view.
That's a kick-ass view.
If you sit in the second level, there's not a bad seat in Petco Park in the second level. There's just not. Way down the lines can get a little bit difficult on the lower level, a little bit difficult to see sometimes. But honestly, sitting behind home plate, Frankie, it was like, yeah, oh, this painting looks pretty cool in black and white. Just throw some color on it, and you're like, whoa, like this is unbelievable. The only negative about it, other than the red pens, was I was staring at the umpire's back. So it wasn't a completely clear view, but on a play at the plate, on a grounder, like you, Ben said, man, first inning, Kolek's out there throwing. And I'm like, oh, good. He got the ground ball he needed. I go, I wasn't thinking that. I could see exactly where those balls were going. That view, you know, down the, looking at the diamond, as soon as he hit it, like, that's a knock.
Oh, watch it on TV. Every time he gave up a, you know, hard grounder, I go, oh, there's the double play to end the inning. And then, no, it's in the hole again.
In the hole again.
Oh, there's the inning inner. No.
There's no defender there. There's absolutely no mistaking it at all when you're sitting down there. But it was incredible. I mean, the crowd was great. You know, as it usually is at Petco Park, the game itself was staggering. And I'll say this, I wasn't happy about sitting down in those seats and watching a 6-run top of the first. I was not happy about it at all. Not even
you
a little.
You almost feel as though you got cheated. Like,
yeah,
I get to sit in these seats one time, you know, maybe all year long.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get, this is the game that I ended up with, because a lot of times you go down 6-0 in the top of the first. It's a throwaway night.
Yeah, it's a punt night, you know.
It's, you know, bring in the back of the bullpen. Let's just come back tomorrow and win the series.
Yeah.
And that's not Mike Schilt baseball, obviously.
Yeah.
They don't punt on games unless it's the absolute, you know, desperation when we saw Tyler Wade in pitching and they're down late. But they don't give up, and they certainly didn't give up last night.
They did not, and I did have the feeling, though, as soon as Toddy hit the home run, I go, oh yeah, we'll be fine. I was with my buddy Patrick, and I go, they're gonna make this a game. There's no question. I said the only thing is if you're Mike Schilt, what do? Right? And the guy in front of me said, you got to get this guy out of there. And in my mind, I go, no, you got to leave Kolek in. Period. Like you cannot yank Kolek after the first and be like, all right, we're going to go, you know, use 8 guys to cover the next inning. No, you got to live to fight another day against Sandy Alcantara today.
Came close with the pitch count rising.
Yeah.
Like for Kolek's arm health, they had to think of, they were thinking about it. Omar Cruz was up in the bullpen. I don't know if you could see it from where you were, but Omar Cruz was up. And if he didn't get those last couple of outs, they might have had to make a change simply just to not let him throw 50 pitches in the first inning, knowing they're going to need him later in the season. They can't do that to his arm.
Yeah.
So those last two outs to get out of the first inning were huge. And, you know, Stephen Kolek's performance, and we will talk about it this morning, was absolutely one of the grittiest, guttiest pitching performances you're going to see.
No question.
We thought Randy Vasquez the other day when he gave up 3 in the first two innings was pretty gutty to pitch into the seventh. What Stephen Kolek did yesterday, and the guy very humble, he said, oh, yeah, I didn't deserve a win. I don't know that anyone's ever deserved to win more than Stephen Kolek did last night with what he did. He not only saved that game, he saved probably today's game as well to give the Padres a chance, because if they had to go with all of their 9 innings of bullpen, you know, they're in deep straits for, you know, today's game with Kyle Hart coming up to make the start. Now they've got the back end healthy. Kyle Hart just keeps them in the game. They've got a chance to go for the sweep today.
Yeah, man. It honestly, the only comparison I can make in our lives, it would be like if we went out on a Sunday night and just got hammered. And I mean, just wrecked. You're done for the week. It's going to take me till Thursday to feel semi-normal again. And with Kolek being able to give you a little bit of length and girth, by the way, last night, it was outstanding. Yeah, the top of the first sucked. There's no question. Everything was hanging. Leaving pitches out over the plate. They were hammering him. These were not seeing eye singles. He was bad in the first, but to be able to go in and just go 0-0-0-0-0-0 until the next man came up, the ovation he got was pretty special when he walked off the field last night. And you can't say enough good things about that. Yeah, you'd love to erase that 6 top of the first. You have a hell of an outing, sir. But it happened, and the resiliency he showed to get through it was masterful. Really, really great.
A lot of Padres talk coming up on the program today. We will set the menu for you. Quick check of traffic. Don't go away. Ben and Woods still here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, tier ones, you're usually very locked in all 4 hours. Just make sure this first hour, next 60 minutes, you do not go anywhere, because obviously Padres wrap up is going to be a good one as we talk more about the come from behind 8-6 win over the Marlins. But as Woods mentioned, he was working hard being our producer for the evening as he set up. Jake Peavy's going to join us on a Big League Wednesday at 7 o'clock, a great Big League Wednesday guest. And Jake's going to check in, covering all of baseball, obviously, but also a Padres ambassador now, and see how he thinks, you know, the Padres are faring here now. We've hit the Memorial Day milestone of the season, where you can start looking at the standings and make some bigger picture judgments on a team after 2 months of the year.
And I got to tell you, I never felt more like a producer. I felt like I wouldn't take no for an answer. Like Peavy, so I got it all set up, and I texted him, hey, we got, you know, we'd love to have you on tomorrow, talk some ball, what time works for you? He goes, hey, at 8:30, text me. Sorry, just getting done here in Atlanta, flying out at 10:50 Eastern. So anytime before that works. I'll have phone on me. If it doesn't work tomorrow, I'm at the network rest of the week, make any other day, no problem. Hope you and the fam are well and kicking ass. I said, all right, great. Let's do 7 a.m. my time. And I go, sure, 10 to 12 minutes. He goes, all right, well, I'll be at the airport, but we'll find a quiet spot. I said, sounds good. I was not going to let Peeve off the hook. And we'll have him this morning, again, from the airport in Atlanta. I'm sure it's going to be loud and busy, but he said he'll find a quiet spot. And, man, I love that guy. I love that guy. He's got such good insight. And I want to ask him about, you know, like you said, the fence post of Memorial Day.
Yeah, we'll chat with Jake Peavy, and then we'll get to our regular features like Don't Do This and Take on Woods. I want to have our own conversation about the Memorial Day milepost as well.
Sure.
Looking at the playoff contenders in the NL. You know, some teams are having trouble getting it going, like the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I keep thinking are...
Don't even bring it up.
They should be coming, but they can't even get to 500 right now, which is very odd to me. You know, are the Giants, do they have staying power in the NL West, or are they going to fall back? What's it going to look like as we get deeper into the summer? Take a look at the NL playoff contenders and pretenders coming up in the second half of the program. Frankie's going to have a Rindle report, an Italian Paul Rindle report, in our 9 o'clock hour with some headlines as well. So should be a fairly decent show on a Wednesday. Looking forward, though, to our Padres wrap up and get all the highlights from Scan and Tony as the Padres rallied from a 6-0 first inning deficit. I mean, there are a lot of milestones from that game last night. You don't see that very often in Major League Baseball. We'll talk all about it coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Ben and Woods on a Wednesday morning, a Big League Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, I will actually respond. I usually
don't
respond to comments.
I responded for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Jay Doe.
Jay Doe.
Who said, what did he say? I just realized... The guy in the middle, who in our YouTube stream would be me, has hair plugs.
It's so obvious, he said. I said, he doesn't have hair plugs.
I don't have hair plugs. This is my natural hair. Is it now slightly thinning, maybe?
Yeah, now you're almost 50.
Getting to my 50s, yes. That's why I have started with the Rogaine treatments to make sure I don't lose any more.
How's that going?
I think it's thickened up a little bit. You know,
save that.
We'll get Frank. An update on. Got to go back to my doctor next month.
Yeah.
And we'll get an update on how it's going. But you know, hopefully, you know, got the thickening and not going to lose any up there. And it's not colored either.
No,
I do not do any hair coloring. The one that really surprises me.
When I met you, I was like, oh, this dude colors his hair straight up. This is, hey, how you doing, Just for Men? Ben?
Not.
I was like, I'm Woodsy. Nice to meet you, Just for Ben.
That is one that even my colleagues at Channel 10 all assume that I dye my hair to keep it its, you know, dark brown color, but I have never once put any hair dye on my head.
I am turning into Pauly Walnuts from The Sopranos with the silver on the
on
side.
The side, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have, which, by the way.
Not bad.
Yes. Like, if I have to look like anybody when I get older, I want to look like Pauly Walnuts. No question. Hey, Woodsy, who on The Sopranos would you want to look like? Pauly. No question. So I saw it coming in. I was like, oh, man, I'm getting gray. And I was like, if I just have these wings for the rest of my life, I'm good. Like, I think it looks badass, to be honest. So, yeah, you don't even have any salt in that pepper, dude. It's straight pepper.
I've been lucky so far on the hair front. So, yes, J-Doe, this is not
Also, J-Do, that's so mean, like, to just come on and be like...
It's fairly mean, isn't it?
It's pretty mean.
I mean, you know, we're here, we're exposing ourselves every morning to the audience and, you know, laying ourselves fairly honest and and bare. Well, I would tell you if I was if I was getting hair plugs. And I mean, you'd make me tell everybody.
We'd make a great bit out of it.
We'd have giant segments about it, updates, you know, every single day. How's the hair plugs
going? How's your plugs? There's no doubt. So, listen, we would wear it. Dominic had a great idea, and I didn't think of this. He goes, bro, you should have just leaned into your seats last night and eaten everything you could find and just been messy, just covered in mustard and nacho cheese and meat and all kinds of stuff. I go,
just a free for all.
Just a free for all. So it was a little, it was kind of disappointing that I really couldn't cut loose. It was like being the DD at an all you can drink wedding. You know, everyone's, shot. And I'm just there like, I got to drive. It's fine. Like, so I didn't really get to eat all the things I wanted to eat. Now, I did have, I will be honest with you guys, they did have down in the area.
Where home plate club.
The home plate club. They did have the banana pudding. It's the, what is it? The banana bread pudding. If you put me in a, you know those old timey bathtubs? I think you have one in your home. With the
claw
legs.
Tub. Claw tub, yeah.
If you filled one with that banana pudding and slid me into it, I could eat my way out of it. And I wouldn't even think twice. It's maybe the best thing that I've ever eaten in my whole life. It's my favorite dessert. Bar none, Woodsy, you have Death Row, what dessert?
Before they added it to Petco Park, you were already a banana pudding fan.
But this is different. This is banana bread pudding. And they didn't have it in the big boats or the helmets. They just had them in the little, like, little cookie foils, basically. So I would go down there to go to the bathroom and be like, I'll just grab another, and just one bite, just like a shot of banana pudding. Bro, if you
by the end of the night, you had at least a full portion, if not more.
No, I don't think that much because they're small. They were really small. Yeah. But I'm telling you guys, man, the next time you go to Petco Park, you have to seek it out. I think it's at Seaside Market. They sell out real quick. It's worth getting down there hour and a half before the game just to get...
Start with dessert and then worry about the rest of your food later. Bro, just make sure you get the pudding.
I'm telling you, if Padres brass and marketing are listening, let's do a stunt. Fill a bathtub with banana pudding and see if I can eat my way through it. I will sign up for it today. Today, it is that good. So, yes, great night. Great, great night. And capped off by one of the best wins I've seen. And I get it. It's the Marlins. But you still got to take advantage of those mistakes and all that. And it was awesome to be a part of.
Just quickly. Now, Frankie's filling in for Pauly. As we're training Frankie on the ways of the morning show, this is where you'd find the Larry King drop.
Yeah,
where
he says, you'd say, how did you gain all the weight?
How did you gain all the weight?
Yeah.
That's where Pauly would just come in with the little drop just to add to Woods' story about the banana pudding.
But I think how did you gain all the weight?
There it is. I ate banana pudding out of a bathtub. I ate a whole bathtub full of banana pudding. So yeah, you got to find a way down there. Like, if I could find a trough of it, I would sell it on the side. Like, to people, because it's worth little baggies of it, because it's that good.
They don't have it as one of the vendors doesn't walk around with it in the park. You can only get it at a couple of secret locations, like Seaside Market.
Eric Grubner, if you're listening, you could make $1 billion. $1 billion. Like, you want players? Sell more banana pudding. Make more banana pudding. Sell more banana pudding. You could get...
How's your roster financed?
What do you want?
You know, with banana pudding.
What do you want? Kyle Tucker next year? It's done. It's done. It's that good, dude. I'm telling you. You can't oversell it. It's unbelievable. It's truly, truly amazing. They've really knocked it out of the park with that.
All right, let's check traffic, and then we'll come back with our Padres wrap-up. Padres have won 4 of their last 5, but none like last night's 6-0 come-from-behind victory. We'll get to that coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Wentz didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, with gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
Here's a designated hitter, Liam Hicks. First pitch swinging, base hit through the left side. Another run is going to score. Wagman crosses the plate. Marlins up 2-0. Runner goes again. 3-2 pitch. Ground ball through the right side for a base hit. Norby is going to score. It is now 5-0 Marlins. 1-1 to Fernando. Fly ball to right field, heading towards the corner, racing over is Sanchez. This one is going to be gone. Home run for Fernando. Right down the right field line, just inside the foul pole. And right away, the Padres answer. They now trail 6-1. Here's Tyler Wade. First and second, one out, second inning. First pitch swing, ground ball to left, diving play, but it's off the glove of Simone. They're going to send Xander Bogaerts, and the Padres now trail 6-2. Leaper's going to hold up Jake Cronenworth, who was thinking about trying to score. The throw goes home. It gets away from the catcher. Now Jake's going to try to come, and he's going to score. Padres get two runs. Runner goes. The pitch is swung on, ground ball, second baseman, but he misses it. It's going to go under his glove. Manny is going to score. Jackson Merrill is heading over to third base. The Padres now trail 6-4. 1-1 to Arise. Fly ball left field. This one may fall in, and it will. Base hit for Luis Arise. Tyler Wade is going to score from third, and the Padres have tied this ball game up 6-6 in the fourth. 1-1 to Arise. Line drive up the middle for a base hit. Jake Cronenworth is rounding third. He's heading home. Here comes the throw. It's not in time. Padres lead 7-6. Luis Arise coming through once again. The 3-2 again to Jackson. Swung on. High fly ball to deep right field. This one is going to be gone into the seats. Home run for Jackson Merrill, his fifth of the season. That gives the Padres an 8-6 lead here in the eighth. The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. He got him. Padres win 8-6.
So that's the one thing, you know, we're built. Everybody's got their own theory of how they're built. We're built, and everybody, you know, thinks your theory's the best, right? But I really feel comfortable and confident, and our output has validated that. And that is, like, we're a complete offense. It really is an offensive machine that, you know, you look at it, and it's just well played in all phases. We're going to get the defense here in a minute. There's still a lot of positive things to unpack that I want to make sure get out there. But, you know, the offense was relentless. I love Toddy, you know, right immediately answering back. Great approach a couple times a night. Got a ball out of the ballpark. Next thing you know, boom, we're right back at it. You know, Louis, fantastic other way. Just use the whole field, and, you know, Bogey again, you know, continues to take good at bats. Now he found some grass because he's hit some balls at people, even that hard ball to the right center. Crony, terrific at bats, and, you know, Wadey does his part and chips in and helps us out win a game. But it's coupled with the base running, right? Manny, big tag, gets a third. Louis, first and second, gets to second. Crony, head up, ball kicks away, scores. So, that's why, listen, you know, this game is going to be so challenging, but we consistently put our best foot forward offensively.
Man, the offense was great, and you can't win that game, Benny, if you don't come back and score those runs. You got a lot of help from the Marlins. But my God, the defense was staggeringly great. Manny Machado's play down the line, again, oh, he's got 8 errors this season. Nobody makes that play. Nobody makes that play in that throw. Perfect long hop to Luis Arise, who was picking. He was a picking machine last night. Xander made a couple of spectacular plays to his right, his backhand. And if it wasn't for a real short hop, would have been a spectacular play. But Luis picked everything. The double play,
really
that Luis
Arise. Yeah.
Oh my God, I watched it.
Needed the replay to get the double play, but it was an outstanding play on both ends by Arise and Jake Cronenworth to get that double play. And you know, that was important to keep them off the board after the 6.
No doubt.
You really knew you couldn't give up any more runs if you really wanted a chance to win that game.
Let me tell you, the Marlins had some loud outs, and I mean some really loud outs after that first thing. There were some balls that were hit that I went, July, that may be gone. I mean, it chased Jackson back to the wall a couple times, Toddy back to the wall a couple of times. I can't say enough good things, and again, from my vantage point, watching the play down the line that Manny made. It's absurd. It's absurd. And Luis Arise, you know, coming through last night with the glove too. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. And, you know, it was one of those games where so much happened. I was driving in this morning and I felt a little overwhelmed about all the different things that I saw last night. But, you know, obviously it starts and stops with Steven Kolek being able to hang some zeros after a really, really nasty first inning.
You said during foreplay that you thought the Padres would get back into the game.
I thought we may lose like 7-4. But, you know, six runs is tough to overcome. But, man, when they started adding on, when it got to about 6-4, and every inning I'd look at Patrick and go, oh, my God, Kolek's back out there. And he's like, look at his pitch count. It's nothing right now.
It's funny because I was watching the first inning with my parents, and when they fell behind 6-0, everyone has that saying, oh, not a night like this. And I said, I don't know if they're going to win, but they need a game like this where the offense absolutely has to carry them.
Has to.
It has been so long since the offense has really lifted them to a win.
Yeah.
And now they have no choice. I was almost like, good. You're down 6-0. You have to go out and score some runs.
Backs to the wall, yeah.
You know, and maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. But this is kind of the kick in the butt I thought that the Padres offense might need. Like, you're not going to win this game 3-2.
Right.
You know this right away. You know, yeah, you never want to give up six runs in the first inning, but you now have 9 innings and you have a target score essentially. We know we probably need to get to 8 or 9 to win this game. You can do that. They've scored 8 or 9 plenty of times early in the season. It's just been weeks since they've been able to, but now you've got that target score right away. Like, you're not playing for a run. You're not playing for, you know, you sacrifice a guy over.
Yeah.
You got to score, you know, 8. And they did.
They
went out and scored 8 runs, and they got most of them back in, you know, I think, what, in each of the first 5 innings they scored, right?
Yeah.
1-2, 2-1, 1, and then they were up 7-6, and then they added on the Jackson Merrill home run. That's impressive when you have to do it. And you go out and do it. And I think it's something that the Padres offense badly needed. Now, does this all happen without Ronnie Simon, as Bob Scanlon called him? I think Jesse was calling him Ronnie Simon. I'm not sure how he pronounces it. But the 3 sort of 4 errors committed by the Marlins second baseman in that game. Great moments if you're a Padres fan. But it's also a test of empathy. Because, man, I felt for that kid out there. That's a young team, and you thought you were, you know, in the spotlight, just sitting behind home plate and worried what you're eating. Imagine being the kid who's out there in front of a sellout crowd of screaming fans that, you know, want him to fail, and every single play that comes his way, he finds a way to boot the ball. I mean, even he got charged with 3 errors. There were 5 times he could have made plays that helped his team that did not happen. And eventually coming off the field, you know, facing his glove, wiping away, you know, what appeared to be tears. That was tough to watch for a kid like that. And you know, there were some nice empathetic words from Fernando Tatis Jr. after the game. You know,
hey. Fernando said, it happens. It's baseball. Everyone that has won a platinum or gold glove has had one of those nights. I definitely know he's a great player. He has won MVP from Winter League. Dang it, pop-up just popped up right in the middle
when that happens, but yeah.
He said he has won MVP from Winter League over in the Dominican. I've seen him play really good baseball. I have no doubt he's going to be a really good baseball player. 25 years old, had a night like that. I'm a dad. That's the first thing I went to is, I'm a dad. If that's my son, I just want to put my arms around him. You know, watching your kid booting one yourself is such a lonely feeling. I made a couple back-to-back errors before in a game, and you want to dig a hole, crawl into it, and never come out. You really do, and I can't imagine on that stage what it feels like. I really was empathetic. Yes, great. Thank you for helping us win a ball game. We probably don't do it without, you know, you kicking it around and you know, the flip on the double play. I went, this is our night, period, the end. And when he ran off, he ran down into the tunnel, and he had to have coaches go after him. I hope they put their arms around him, loved on him, told him, hey, man, we're going to get you right back out there tomorrow. Again, everyone's kicked. Manny had 3 errors in a game last week.
Three errors in an inning.
Yeah, bro, it happens. Like, It absolutely happens. How do you bounce back from it? How do you recover is the most important thing. But my heart broke for that kid.
It also was reminiscent of what the Padres were doing for the first month plus of the season, taking advantage and putting pressure. You know, what do they say? We don't feel pressure. We apply pressure. Well, the Padres were applying pressure.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and the Marlins and Simone crumbled under that pressure because they're a young team and they're not a very good team. And, you know, hopefully you get those wins. And that's why this homestand is so important for the Padres to take advantage. They got the first two games. Obviously, tough customer. He's been struggling today in Sandy Alcantara,
yeah,
who's going to face, you know, Kyle Hart, who's coming back after being in the minors. I mean, I have no idea what to expect in the game today. But, you know, Padres really need these games, as many as possible on this homestand, because the schedule's only going to get tougher after this.
I thought it wasn't just resiliency by Kolek and the offense. I'm telling you what, man, how about the bullpen? Like, knowing that some of your big guys are down. Torres is not.
Torres, Adam, and Morejon were only going to be used in emergencies last night.
Right. And to be able to get through what you got through with Kolek giving you 5 1/3, and then with Yuki and Sean Reynolds and Estrada covering the rest of those innings, I thought it was outstanding, man. And the bullpen has pitched really. They had that bad little spurt, and they seem to have righted the ship. Obviously, it's baseball. Anything can change. But I thought the umpire was terrible. I was Quinn Wolcott. I was on him. Like, he was, it was bad. Something, what are you asking for help? Like, I can see it. I have the same view you do. That's clearly a go, or that's clearly a hold. And I was on him a little bit last night, because I thought some of Yuki's pitches, I'm like, bro, what do we do? I don't know what the box said at home, but Yuki was like pumping strikes. Ball, it's out, it's away. I'm like, come on, man. So they overcame a lot last night to win. And again, look, it's one game. It's against the Marlins. Means nothing other than you've won the series, which is a big deal. But I just thought all the stuff they had to overcome last night was pretty remarkable.
None more, of course, than Steven Kolek, who became the first pitcher since 1999, Bartolo Colon, to allow 6 earned runs in the first inning and still record the win. Ended up going 5 1/3, 6 hits, the 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Yeah, you were right. You know, they were hitting the ball hard. I was looking at the stat cast in the first inning, and a lot of over 100 mile an hour exit velocities. No, not barrels, because they weren't in the air. They were on the ground. And yeah, most of the time, one of those balls goes right at a defender,
100%.
And it's a double play, and you get out of the inning. Didn't happen, though.
No.
And, you know, I wouldn't say, you could say he was unlucky. I would say he just wasn't lucky. And
there's a
fine line and difference between unlucky and not lucky. And in that case, he was more not lucky. And with that many chances in baseball, I mean, none of the hits in the first inning had an expected hit percentage of over 500. So
right. They
were all coin flips, and they won every coin flip. So in that sense, he was unlucky that he didn't win one of those coin flips. But they were all like 490, 48. I mean, they were hit hard. They were 102, 104, you know, and they were, you know, they were bare, you know, squaring it up at least against Steven Kolek in the first inning. But then he bounced back, and yeah, some hard outs that, you know, maybe got some lucky, you know, deep flies in the right part of the ballpark, but just gritty and to go back out there and not succumb to a 6-run first inning where he threw, you know, close to 40 pitches. That was very impressive.
I thought for the Marlins, Max Meyer is really fun to watch pitch, and I think that kid's going to be really good someday. I mean, he's a young dude. Throws really, really hard. And I saw a couple guys out of their bullpen look pretty nasty as well. It was, you know, look, I told Schilt this the other day, and I think I mentioned it yesterday. There's just no reprieve for a big league baseball player. And then you get through these two games, and then there's Sandy on the mound, who has the potential to be the best pitcher in baseball on any given day. There's no reprieve. There's no, hey, today's an easy day. Right? Like, you just don't run into the thumbers. And even the thumbers will make you insane, you know? And so they're all just so good. The perspective of sitting down there just watching the fuzz on these pitches last night is just Jeremiah Estrada in warmups. I mean, he threw one that was kind of up, and it looked like it was coming right from my forehead. And I was just like, I backed up. It's so staggering when you're down close to see just how hard these cats are throwing. And again, fresh new perspective, man. I'm amazed we put a ball in play. These guys throw so hard.
So Padres make it 4 out of 5 wins. They're back to 9 games above 500, and they will wrap up the series this afternoon. 1:10 start, 12:10 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Yeah, Sandy Alcantara, who has lost 7 starts in a row, and not 1-0s. I mean, he's given up 5 runs, 7 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs. He has struggled coming back from his Tommy John surgery, but you know he's going to right the ship at some point. You don't want it to be today as the Padres go for the sweep. We'll talk more about it. But when we come back, Big League Wednesday, Jake Peavy going to join us supposedly from the airport in Atlanta before he catches a flight. Padres ambassador and legend going to join us next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.